on air. There we go. I'm Rick Moore. Tim Kearns is here. Bill Proposky is our producer and engineer. Bill Newell is off tonight, a well-deserved night off. The guy has been working unbelievable. And here we are on this beautiful Monday evening here on the North Shore of Eastern Massachusetts. North Shore Sports Night, we got a bundle tonight. We got quite a few people lined up as guests, really looking forward to it, as we'll be talking with Mike Grenier later on about what the Bozo the basketball season is going to look like if indeed continues. Mac Cerullo. Mac is the Newburyport Daily News sports editor. Do I hear myself? Tim, do you hear me?
Yes, Rick, I can hear you.
All right, do I hear me?
I don't know. Do you?
I don't know, too. That's why I'm asking. Anyway, Matt Cerullo is the Newburyport Daily News sports editor. We'll be talking him with, I think, about baseball, but whatever is on his mind. We'll be checking in, as I said, with Mike Grenier, who is features writer for the Salem News and former longtime reporter for the Salem News. Great stories to tell. Gary Larrabee, sports historian and golf writer, is going to check in with us. We also will be talking with the Ipswich Director of Athletics, Ipswich High School Director of Athletics, Tom Gallagher. And Bill will be coming out of a little bit of a day off to talk to Gavin Sullivan, who is a local high school player who is now pitching for college and for the North Shore Navigators. And so all of that's coming up here tonight, including Tim Kearns. How you doing, Coach?
I'm good, Rick. I'm good.
Now listen, great day to be out on the bike, but I'm understanding you ain't got a bike no more?
I have moved the bike. I have sold it, and I've had some issues with neuropathy in my feet, carpal tunnel in both hands, and you can't ride a motorcycle if you've got numbness and tingling in hands and feet. It doesn't make for a safe ride.
Yeah, I would
so
say.
I opted last fall after an incident. I just said that's it. And just found a good home, and I'll miss it. It's still in the driveway. I'm still waiting to consummate the deal, but it is going to be moving in the next several weeks.
Okay. So, all right. Now, Coach.
Every time I see somebody ride by the motorcycle, I get the vroom vrooms going. You know.
I understand that. I totally get that, and it's there are transitions in life, and I guess that's one of them.
Yeah, it's just not safe, and I as much as I thought about taking it out, because it's all ready to go, it's registered, it's insured, and everything, and I just thought thinking, I'm going to be more concerned about my ability to tap the brakes and shift effectively, and then clutch, and I'd be watching my feet and hands more than I'd be watching the road, and that's not a way to ride a motorcycle.
No, I would think not. I would think not. Yeah. All right, Coach, let me get your opinion on what's going on with Major League Baseball. I waffled back and forth. At first, I thought the players were being really selfish and baby fairyish and all that kind of stuff, and the baby crybaby whiner multimillionaires. But then, on the other hand, and I got two more statements. On the other hand, They there's a contract, and a contract, if you ever watch the paper chase, it's absolute and it's inviolate. But then on the other hand, the owners, even though that they are multi-billionaires in essence, they're losing money too. So I'm in a complete mess with this Major League Baseball situation. What are your thoughts?
Well, I just look at all the people that have lost their jobs because of the coronavirus, the shutdown that occurred, who have gone without paychecks, who have relied upon unemployment insurance, and luckily the government bumped up the ante on payments to those going on unemployment. And for these guys to cry about millions of dollars that they're not going to get, despite the fact that they're going to get millions of dollars anyways, rings kind of hollow to me, and I can see them losing a lot of fans to this argument of theirs that we're not going to take any more pay cuts. Well, imagine the people who were on minimum wages who took a pay cut down to zero.
You know what, Tim? You put the light on for me, because I want to mention this. Restaurant owners in the area, many of them, out of revenue, still stay open, and they send sandwiches to the frontline workers. They send food to the needy. They help out with food in the area all over the North Shore, and they're not making any money at all. And then the people who are out of work, or even people who are not out of work, but people who are stressed, you go to sports sometimes as an outlet, as a relaxation. Now, what about baseball players? Do they go to work, or do they go to play? So I think you've opened my eyes with this one. And I you know what? I guess at this point, I don't care if they come back or not.
You know, I mentioned this last week. I have not missed sports at all during the time that they've been out.
Well, I have.
You know, I've missed. It's meeting his father would be joyous to him. He said, "I've missed soccer because it's played in 2 hours. You're done. The magic can move on." It's not a big hole in my life. I found other things to do. I do a lot more reading now. I get a lot of other things done. And a lot of people, I think, have found that, you know, Wild Sports is a big part of their life. It doesn't have to be as dominating as they've somehow have sometimes made it to be. I know those that like to bet on it are a little lonely right now, but they're also probably a little bit wealthier because they haven't lost anybody in the last 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can take a leave it. If they don't come back, they don't come back. I'll wait till next year.
Well, the only thing is, I would like to see them come back for those who you know, sports is the outlet on in terms of television. But as I said, you know, if they don't, you're right. If they don't, they don't. All right, let's move on. We're going to talk to Max Cirillo in a minute here, Coach. And as you know, I need you to be patient because you're not here pressing the buttons for me. So hopefully I won't lose you. But when I do, I'll call you back. You know that.
I never knew how critical my button pushing actually was.
I know. Who knew? And boy, do I miss it. I can't wait for you to come back into the studio. I'm telling you, it's something. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we will talk with the Newburyport Daily News sports editor, Max Cirillo. Stay with us, please. This is North Shore Night on this Monday night, and this is MSONewsSports.com.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
Enjoy the taste of summer all year round at Cherry Farm Creamery. Pick up an ice cream cake for that special occasion. Cherry Farm Creamery offers the best ice cream right off Route 128 on Conant Street in Danvers. Or visit them at cherryfarmcreamery.com.
All right, we're back. Unable to connect with Max Cirillo. That happens sometimes. Back with Tim Kearns. I'm Rick Moore. And what we're going to do is I did have a chance to talk with the athletic director at Ipswich High School, Tom Gallagher, today. And we talked a little bit about how the kids have missed the spring season. And, Tim, you and I have talked about that many times. But, that's over and done with now, and there's not much we can do about it. But I do think in the future these kids will look back on this and – it will be certainly a special moment in their history.
Yeah, you know, again, we've talked about it multiple times throughout the shutdowns and everything. For the seniors, it's the last chance for a lot of them to make an impression on college scouts and in certain sports pro scouts. And for the juniors, it's a year where a lot of their names get into the pipeline, where they'll begin to be followed. Coaches and scouts will begin to send out feelers to other coaches that they know and set bird dogs on their tail to go and watch their games and to assess their abilities in an in-game situation. So for a lot of those kids, it's just been a really, really tough time. You know, that's just the athletes. And for the other kids involved, there were no spring plays, no band concerts. You know, the whole spectrum of high school activities was just shut down. The kids who perform in DECA didn't get to either go to New York or D.C. And so just so much was missed for these high school seniors and others who are actively involved in school extracurricular activities. And for the kids that simply went to work, you know, they were laid off. Their companies were shut down. You know, will they be able to get those jobs back this summer? Maybe, maybe not, but certainly not in the numbers that they were before. So it's had just an incredible impact. And yeah, you know, they're going to look back and go, boy, the summer of 2020, what a bummer that was. And, you know, it'll be a time for stories for them to share, but they're not going to be, for the most part, a lot of happy stories.
Great to be back now with the Ipswich Director of Athletics, Ipswich High School Director of Athletics, Tom Gallagher. Tom, it has been so long. How are you?
I'm doing great, Rick. All things considered, I guess. How are you?
All things considered, yeah. Same, absolutely the same. I know that until March 13th or so, you had a pretty fabulous year in athletics at Ipswich High School. So maybe kind of a brief thumbnail as to how the year went for you guys?
Yeah, as you said, we were pretty proud of our fall and our winter sports teams. We had a lot of collective and individual successes between those seasons. And then, obviously, as March rolled around and we were really starting to gear up for the spring season, everything sort of fell apart on that Friday, March 13th.
Now, tell me a little bit about winter sports. We didn't get a chance to finish up and, you know, basketball, hockey, that kind of thing. How'd you guys make out?
Both of our basketball teams came close but didn't end up qualifying for the state tournament this year. The girls' ice hockey program is with Beverly, and
yep.
That program didn't qualify either. But our boys' ice hockey team plays with Rockport, and they did make it into the tournament this year, which was the first time in several years. So that was a really great success story for that program for sure.
Yeah, now what about springtime, Tom? Because I've talked with other ADs in the area, and pretty much heartbroken is the story. And I know that, you know, you help with kids their senior year getting into schools, whether they're playing sports or not. And I know that you work with the juniors and everybody else, really. But tell me a little bit about how it's gone for you guys.
You know, first and foremost, our heart goes out to all of the senior athletes and the coaches and so forth. You know, I can't think of a situation that's worse than being out for your senior year as an athlete and then finding out that it's going to be taken away from you. And, you know, we've certainly felt bad for all of the athletes that have had to go through that. Even personally, in my own world, I have a son who was a senior at Whittier Tech that was going to be playing baseball this spring. So we experienced that on the home front as well. So it was really pretty devastating to learn that news for sure.
You know Coach Bradley up there?
I do.
Yeah.
Coach Bradley's a great guy.
Absolutely. I know him very well. Really good guy. So so what's your son planning on doing in the fall?
He is going to continue to work for the construction company he's working for and start to take classes at Northern Essex.
Excellent, excellent. I'll tell
you. That's the plan.
Yeah, that's you know, I still don't know what I want to do when I grow up, so I should probably go back to school, too. I just haven't decided.
I kind of feel the same way sometimes.
I know. So what is the deal with some of your athletes? Have your coaches been working with the athletes in terms of a general conditioning program? I guess it would have to be remotely.
Yeah, our coaches have been really good throughout this. You know, they kept in constant contact with the players while we were sort of in limbo, and they had made recommendations about training programs and sent them some information and tried to help keep their spirits up. And once the season was over and didn't end up happening, our coaches have been really good about continuing to talk to them about the importance of getting physical fitness and exercise and training for the next level or just training for next year or next season, whatever is in that particular athlete's future.
You know, up to this point, Tom, I imagine it's been kind of holding things together with, haywire and with pins and needles and paper clips and stuff like that. But now that the end of the school year is officially approaching, what is your attention going to be in terms of high school athletics?
Well, right now I think it's going to be planning for a normal fall season, trying to make sure that we have everything in place, that if we're lucky enough to get out there in August, that we're ready to go, that coaches are ready to go, the athletes are ready to go. And similarly to what we did this spring, if we start to get modified versions of that from the state or from the MIAA, we'll adjust accordingly. Our plan is to try and give our student athletes the best experience we can. So if there's any way we can get them out on the field, or if there's anything that we can do come this fall, we want to make sure we're ready to do that.
What's been the main topic of ADs when you guys get together in terms of either coming up from the fall or finishing up this year, finishing up the school year?
Really, for the most part, it's trying to predict the future. Everybody wants to try and get a jump on things. Mm-hmm. So even this morning, we have a group text that's going around between athletic directors who are asking questions about, you know, what are you doing for this, and what are you doing about registration, and what are you doing for that? Cape Ann League's a great league. There's a lot of great athletic directors in the league, and we communicate a lot, but it's really been mostly looking into the crystal ball and trying to figure out what the fall is going to look like and try to get ready for that.
Is there some sort of, and I think this is probably my final question, is there some sort of closing out ceremony that will be planned either for the high school or for the athletic program, in the not-too-distant future? Or is it pretty much going to be, you know, let's just see what happens from week to week, and then we'll try to plan from there?
Yeah, it's pretty much been week to week. The graduation for the class of 2020 at Ipswich is coming up this Saturday at Crane Beach. They're using the parking lot down there, so it's going to be a little different than what most people are used to. In terms of awards, we're actually here this week pulling that stuff together and trying to organize them by students. So the middle of this week, we're supposed to be distributing caps and gowns along with awards and so forth. So that's kind of how we've handled things so far.
Yeah, this is so crazy. Tom, is there anything that you've taken from these last 2.5 months or so that is, for want of a better word, useful? In other words, is there something that's new and said, okay, we can do this, we can use this sometime in the future, or is it pretty much just take notes and see what happens?
I think it's been a little bit of both, honestly. We've learned a lot about technology in a short period of time, Zoom calls and, you know, finding different ways to communicate with each other and share information has been helpful for sure. It's not always easy to facilitate getting a bunch of people into a room. So having that skill set, I think, moving forward will be important. But it's been a lot of the same old, same old, just kind of trying to find different ways to do that and, keep busy trying to move the department forward and keep people notified and so forth through all the different stages.
All righty. Tom, anything I mentioned?
No, as always, we appreciate you checking in with us here in Ipswich. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Tom, I'm looking forward to the fall. Can't wait to get started. You be safe, and thanks for taking the time today. Appreciate it.
You as well, Rick. Thank you. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. That is Tom Gallagher, who is the Director of Athletics at Ipswich High School. Yes, he is, and we're back live now. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns. Joining us is the Newburyport Sports Editor, Newburyport Daily News Sports Editor, Mac Cirullo. Mac, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Well, it's going pretty well, I got to tell you. And I'm looking forward, hopefully to stuff coming back online. You know, Mac, I was just thinking, we were talking before we went on the air here about back in March when we were in the Garden, and I can't remember if you and I were there the same night or not, but that very same week when everything shut down, there we were with thousands of people watching the high school games, and it's kind of surreal that that was the last event we went to.
Yeah. No, I think the last one that I was at was the Songa Center. It was the Triton hockey game, the Division II North final against Lincoln Sudbury. But yeah, same idea. Like, you know, it was, you know, tons of people were there, and that was like the point. Like, I think within like the couple of days beforehand, we sort of kind of knew that it was getting a little bit serious. And I distinctly remember just being, you know, at the Songa and being like, "Am I in danger?"
Yeah.
I was like. You know, after the game, one of the coaches shook my hand, and I'm just like, oh God, like I'm gonna die.
Well, you know, for the first time in my life, when I touch a chair or I went to the men's room and just touched the door going into the men's room, I had those very same thoughts, like, uh-oh, is it all over? Very, very weird. Well, Mac, I know that the Salem News, the Gloucester Times, the Newburyport Daily News, you guys have you've done an amazing job, in my opinion, in keeping sports afloat, because you've dug deep and you've really brought out a lot of high school superlatives, if you will, and a lot of names. So very briefly, if you could, please tell me what you've done in the last couple of months in terms of promoting the kids.
Yeah, well, I think, so first things first, when everything first happened, you know, the winter season was basically over. Triton Hockey was our last team that was still active, so most of our athletes were, you know, completed their seasons. So after that, it was kind of, for at least a little while, kind of wrapping up the winter, the same kind of thing we would normally do. And obviously, you know, covering, like, just the very fact that everything was shutting down was a huge, huge story. So, you know, you have your All-Stars, you have your kind of season review stuff. And then after that, you know, once we kind of, you know, there was like a couple of weeks where we were just like kind of waiting and seeing. It wasn't very good, but, you know, I didn't want to just start, you know, declaring the season over until it was. So at that point, we did a lot of, like, you know, pictures on the college kids who had their seasons cut short, you know, on some of the, you know, the kids who have done really well. And, you know, eventually the news came and, you know, we knew it was over. So after that was like a lot of senior tributes. We did an entire week of just like, you know, I think we got every single senior from all six of our area schools, you know, got their names in the paper, highlighted all the teams and sort of, you know, what the season could have been like for them. And then, you know, ever since then, you know, I think the main thing we've been focusing on is all-decade teams. So I guess the nice thing about this happening in 2020 is, you know, you got an entire decade's worth of material to look back on. So, yeah, we're working our way through that. We publish an all-decade team for the Daily News anyway. We've published for football, basketball, hockey, just did cross-country and track. Next is baseball, and hopefully softball. At the very least, I hope baseball is finished by the end of the week, but they're a big project. So, you know, if I can get them both, that'll be great. And then, you know, soccer, lacrosse, you know, field hockey, wrestling, the rest of the sports will all kind of work my way through each of those over the weeks to come.
Well, Mac, you have attained veteran status very quickly here the last couple of years at the Daily News. And man, you've been thrust into the fire. Tim Kearns is our baseball dude. And is there baseball on the horizon up there?
Well, so for the summer baseball leagues, yes, it looks like we're going to have summer baseball. So as hopefully, you know, like today, Massachusetts has shifted to phase two of its reopening. And as part of that, you know, for the what's relevant for the youth leagues is they can practice now. So right now, the only hurdle that's preventing, you know, the local Little League teams and the local Babe Ruth teams or whatever is they need to get approval from the towns to use the fields. So that's all ongoing. As far as I know, most of the leagues have come up with their safety guidelines. So you're going to have to see a lot of people spread out in dugouts, you know, spitting and, you know, chewing gum will be prohibited. And they'll, you know, all the leagues are going to have, you know, a whole thing to try to keep everybody safe. And, you know, once the towns give approval and let them use the field, then we'll hopefully start seeing the teams practicing by the end of the week, maybe next week. And then games can begin once phase three begins. And assuming we don't see a spike of coronavirus cases, that's supposed to be hopefully June 29th, so 3 weeks. And, yeah, I think, you know, most of the teams, I talked to a whole bunch of organizers and, you know, league commissioners and coaches today, and they're all pretty much targeting, like, roughly the 4th of July as the start of their seasons. So, you know, if all goes according to plan, you know, we'll see some real baseball in July.
You know, Mac, I'm a big soccer fan now, have been for a number of years. And I've been watching the Bundesliga during the week. And, of course, one of the new rules they had, you know, no spitting or high-fiving, bumping, anything like that. You know, I watched the game the other day. They're spitting all over the field because that's a natural thing. I mean, you build up saliva, you got to get rid of it. So, I mean, you got to spit it, you know. And then end of the game, the guys are fitting, slapping hands, clapping each other on the back, and they're going, okay, so much for the safety concerns. And you know, if the pros are doing it, the kids are watching it, they're going to do the exact same thing.
I mean, they're kids. I mean, whether the adults on TV do it, I mean, you know, you've been around Little League baseball teams. They're children. They're just gonna have fun. So honestly, like, we'll just have to see. I think the parents and the coaches and, you know, the adults are just all gonna have to try really hard to emphasize to everybody. It's like, hey, like, you can't mess this up, or like, we might not get to play, or you might not get to play. So I would like to think that, you know, I don't know, maybe the youngest kids, they're just gonna be kids anyway. But at least the kids who are old enough to know better will hopefully recognize that being able to play baseball this year would be a tremendous gift. And, you know, if they can manage to not high five or not, you know, do, you know, dumb kid stuff, then maybe it won't ruin it for themselves or everybody else.
Well, I tell you, Mac, you hit on some good points there, and I'm looking forward to see what happens. So what's coming up in the paper this week? Are you still working on some of these features?
Yeah, well, so the story I just told you about will be published online tomorrow, and then Wednesday's paper. So I was actually on vacation last week, so I did my best to try to actually kind of disconnect, which obviously is not an easy thing to do, especially, you know, given everything that's going on in the world right now. So, you know, catch-up day. But, yeah, later this week is kind of all-decade stuff. I have a few other things that I've kind of been working on that I'll let the readers see when they, you know, comes out later this week. But yeah, no, otherwise, you know, just kind of trying to keep up on top of everything and make sure that, you know, when there's news to break, I am on top of it.
Are you guys back in the office yet, or will you be at some point?
No. Well, I mean, I can't speak for the rest of my colleagues, but I, to be perfectly honest, I work remotely most of the time anyways.
Right, right.
It happens. I don't really live locally. Actually, if I told you where I live, you'd probably talked
okay.
A little bit further south. So, you know, for me, just like I've just been, you know, staying safe, staying home. And, you know, once baseball games start in July, I expect I'll be back up and to be in the office again for a long time.
Great talking with you, Mac. I love the enthusiasm, and it sounds like we're going to be getting back to baseball pretty soon. I appreciate it. We'll talk again soon, certainly probably before football starts.
I hope so. Well, have me on anytime. I'd love to talk to you.
That's awesome. Thanks, Mac. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you.
All right. That is Mac Cirullo, who is the sports editor of the Newburyport Daily News. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with Gary Larrabee, and you are listening to North Shore Sports Night on MSO News Sports. We'll be right back.
MSO News Sports is a unit providing exclusive news and sports content for the North Shore. Our goal is to keep you connected to your local neighbors throughout Essex County and beyond. We feature the best of the North Shore, and we couldn't provide this service without the powerful support of our local sponsors. Like Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury, the Bradford Tavern in Rowley. Just like us, they care about the North Shore. Check out all of our podcasts and share our website with your friends. Email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. Again, we are your connection to the best of the North Shore. msonewsports.com.
Okay, we are back. We resume now with Gary Larrabee, who is a golf historian, a sports historian, golf writer, and all kinds of sports encyclopedia here. Gary, welcome back.
Great to be back, guys.
How'd we make out with the driving ranges?
They're all open, and thankfully they were all open last Monday or Tuesday, and operating smoothly. And, of course, now the golf courses can also put more golfers on the golf course because they can space their tee times 12 minutes apart rather than 15 minutes apart. And hopefully that'll be down to 10 minutes or possibly even 8 minutes between now and next month.
Well, that sounds good. Now, let me see here. Are we back online in terms of Massachusetts golf, you know, the pro or the AMs and all that stuff?
Not yet, but we will be next week, within the next, I should say, next 2 weeks, when we'll begin to see qualifying rounds for the Mass AM, which comes up the middle of July at Catansett down in Marion. But before we get to that, we should talk about a couple of news items which are popping up on the golf scene. One very good news and one sad news. I'll talk about the good news first, that Chris Francoeur from St. John's Prep versus Rhode Island and Amesbury and the Renaissance Club finished second yesterday in a very significant college division tournament down in Bloomington Hills, Connecticut. He shot 7 under par, 133, and he didn't win the tournament, Tim. He finished second. A player named James Amai from Brookline, who played at a Northwestern University, he buried the very last hole to beat Chris by a shot, but still it was a great start to the summer competitive season for Chris Francoeur. And if you read my column last week, you saw where Chris is really pointing towards the Mass Amateur coming up at Catansett. And after finishing losing in the quarterfinals the last 2 years, this may very well be his year. One other noteworthy note from that tournament down in Connecticut, Stephen DeLisio from Salem Country Club, Swampscott, Duke University, finished tied for 12th, shooting 68-77 for 145. So that indicates that he will be playing one more year at Duke, after their spring season was wiped out, and he will be defending, I presume, his state amateur championship at Catansett.
So he did get his waiver, huh?
Well, I haven't gotten confirmation either from the DeLisio family or from Duke, but that appears to be the case. And of course, on the negative side, Tim, before we go too much further, I wanted to make sure we made note of the fact of the passing of Roger Lauzon, a Lynn boy who had an extraordinary career coaching high school golf around these parts for more than 40 years, most of them at Masconoma, but the last dozen or so at Linfield High School. Roger passed away a few days ago at the age of 73 after a valiant battle with cancer. You know, Joe Roger's part of what I would consider the golden age of high school golf coaches around here, a golden age that included people like Bud Campbell from Hamilton Wynnum, John Gillis from Danvers, Larry O'Neill from St. John's Prep, Bob Tierney from Bishop Fenwick, George Hennessy from Peabody, Bill Cullen from Salem, Bob Giron from Swampscott, and Brad Sheridan from Marblehead. And we'll miss Roger, but he was a fine player. But most important, he made a tremendous contribution to high school golf in this neck of the woods for more than 40 years, and he'll be missed.
Geez, Gary, that list of names just rattled off. My God, it's a pantheon of major sports characters from the North Shore over the last, 50 years.
And all good men. Being a high school golf coach does not require a great golf game, a low handicap, but it does require a very astute ability of handling young men or young ladies if they're on the team. And all these fellows have done that over the years. And we've lost George Hennessy, we've lost Bob Tierney, and now we have lost, we lost Brad Sheridan, and now we've lost Roger Lauzon.
Well, what's next, Gary? The world keeps on spinning, and it's a brighter day out there, I think metaphorically speaking. So there is hope on the horizon that this spring will finally open up.
Well, we got the PGA Tour kicking off without any galleries Thursday at the Charles Schwab Challenge down in Fort Worth. But another negative note, unfortunately, is the fact that Rob Oppenheim from Salem and Andover will not be in the field. He thought he would be in the field, but I'm afraid he got bumped. There were too many players who wanted to play this week, and Rob was not on the exempt list, so he will not be playing this week at the Charles Schwab. But we will finally see some real golf, some real top-notch professional golf. The top five money winners, the top five ranked, world-ranked players will all be there. You know, led by Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson, Tiger Woods will not be there. But still, I think we're all dying just to watch some real live golf on TV, and that'll start happening on Thursday.
Karen, I saw an article online. It was like a little teaser for an article. In their prime, who is the better golfer, Rory or Tiger? What's your take?
Well, I know George Pieper wrote a very interesting column on that in Lynx magazine, and he chose Tiger Woods over Jack Nicklaus. I would not do that simply because I know Tiger had more flash, and Tiger had more flash with a 12-shot victory at a Masters and a 15-shot victory to U.S. Open or vice versa. But the fact remains, Jack's overall record is just astonishing with the 18 majors plus the two U.S. amateurs. But that's a great conversation piece that you could debate that point over, not just one beer, but about 101 beers some night at your favorite tavern.
All right. I got to ask you one, Gary, before we go. And I'm going to ask Grenier this too, Mike coming up in a little while. You know, people love to talk about, today's athletes are the greatest ever in terms of conditioning, strength, size, and et cetera, et cetera. But I'm going to tell you, I take Bill Russell any day of the week in any era, because it seems to me that a golfer like Jack Nicklaus, a basketball player like Bill Russell, if they grow up in the environment that these guys are in now, they've got their same skills, and they're gonna play that same game. They're going to do the game that's current. Do you agree, disagree, or what?
Well, I don't think we can use any ifs, and you're trying to use a couple of ifs because they were just in their own era, and they were not in this era for either basketball or golf. But you can make arguments either way, and Bill Russell certainly would hold his own. He could block shots. He could block Wilt Chamberlain shots. He could block Michael Jordan shots.
Sure.
He could block LeBron James' shots. But nonetheless, you know, Russell had a limited scope to his play, as great as it was. But it's a great great debate point. Same with golf. A lot of us argue that Nicklaus had more top-notch players to compete against over a longer period of time than Tiger, but Tiger's still going strong. He's looking for his 16th major championship come August. He's got three of the four majors to play later in the year, and we'll see how it shakes down. But thankfully, we're going to have some competition coming up, guys, because that includes, hopefully, National Hockey League and NBA playoffs within the next 8 to 10 weeks.
Let's hope so. What's on the agenda for your column this week, Gare?
We're going to go down memory lane, Rick, and look back 40 years. We already talked about what happened 50 years ago with a tremendous women's state amateur final at Tedesco between two local gals, Paula Amesworth and Barbara Thorner. But we're going to go back 40 years to what happened in 1980 at Salem Country Club when Salem hosted the Massachusetts Amateur, and 62-year-old Jack McNiff, who had just been dealing with cancer surgery, was wearing a colostomy bag, came out of nowhere at the age of 62 with a very limited competitive schedule over the last 5 to 10 years, becomes the qualifying medalist on site at Salem, on his home course, shooting two rounds of 146, and then winning three matches before losing in the semifinals to the eventual champion Jim McDermott. Truly one of the great golfing accomplishments I've ever seen, Rick and Tim, over my 50-year span watching the stuff around here. We're going to go down memory lane with Jack McNiff, the great Jack McNiff.
Looking forward to it, Gary. Looking forward to seeing you next week, too.
I will be here.
All right.
Good to it, man.
Appreciate it, Gary. Thank you so much. Stay safe.
Carry on. Stay safe, guys.
See you later. That is Gary Larrabee, a golf writer and sports historian and sports encyclopedia as well. We're going to take a break here, and we're going to check in. Bill Newell is going to be checking in with Swampscott High School graduate alum Gavin Sullivan, who will be pitching, we hope. We'll keep our fingers crossed for the North Shore Navigators coming up here very shortly. And then we'll be talking with Mike Grenier. So stay with us. This is North Shore Sports Night.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States. They do so because Anderson Windows and patio doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows at any of our three locations in Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gavin Sullivan from Swampscott, from Stetson, is joining us, and from the North Shore Navigators. Gavin, welcome. Thanks for taking some time to join us.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Well, Gavin, you junior at Stetson, and you were on the Navigators a year ago and looking to return this year. It appears, you know, as we're hearing some stuff, that maybe there actually will be a Navigator season. And I guess, basically, what are your thoughts about coming back for a second year?
I mean, first off, based off of last year, we had a pretty incredible summer with that season we had. So I was pumped to get the opportunity to come back, and I'm hoping we can play, obviously, because people are dying to play baseball, and some people are kind of dying to watch baseball. So I'm pretty excited and can't wait for that season to get underway when we can. So I'm just really eager to get on the field right now.
I know that there are a lot of players, because of the design of the Futures League in the past, that were you planning to play somewhere else this summer originally?
I was supposed to play in the New England College Baseball League, and obviously that got canceled because of everything going on. So, and then I took a opportunity to play for the Navigators again because they hadn't canceled the season yet, and we're looking to obviously play this summer. So I took up that chance, and hopefully we can play, you know.
Well, a year ago, 5-2 with the Navs, a 4.26 ERA, and maybe tell us how you feel you progressed as a player last summer.
Yeah, my biggest thing going into last summer is just getting as much work as possible and get as many innings as possible going into that summer. And I achieved that goal just to get out as much as I can every 5 days. I got to go out there and pitch and work on, you know, my pitches and mentality and all things like that, and help me progress. Obviously, the biggest thing you can do as a pitcher is just to pitch, so that was big for me, helped me go into this season. But obviously this past college baseball season got canceled, so we got cut short, so I didn't get all the chances maybe we wanted to have, but it was a big summer for me, for sure.
Yeah, share your story with us about how this college season came to an end from your point of view.
Yeah, it was tough because we were playing really well. I believe we were 12-3 through the 15 games we were playing, and we were supposed to take on Florida, the number one team in the country, and then just bang, out of nowhere, the season was cut short. And it was pretty devastating news, especially for the seniors, and not even just seniors in our team, but seniors all around the country. It's brutal news to hear that their season's cut short. But obviously, later on, we found out that everyone getting their eligibility back, which is huge for guys that want to keep playing. So there's a little bit of a positive to look at from it, but it was definitely devastating to hear that our season was cut short, because who knows what could have happened.
How were you pitching at that point, you know, now months ago now?
Yeah, I had thrown a few innings in the 15 games that we played, so I was getting out there a little bit, and hopefully I was going to get out there more as the season progressed, but obviously it was cut short, so who knows what could have happened.
I'm sure you must follow the major leagues and what the discussions are there with MLB and the players and so on. Do you think they'll play at all this summer?
I sure hope so. I want to watch some professional baseball games for sure. I mean, for the sake of the league, I sure hope they figure something out because people are dying to watch some baseball. And obviously we have some Korean baseball on ESPN right now, but I'd love to watch some MLB games soon, so hopefully they can figure something out.
Yeah, and they have some old rerun games too, obviously. Yeah,
for sure.
Well, maybe the maybe ESPN will be doing the Futures League the way things are going, huh?
Yeah, that'd be something for sure.
That'd be something. You're right. Well, Gavin, anything else? Let me ask you this one last question: how are you staying in shape over the in the summer and in anticipation of hopefully playing this summer with the Navs?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's probably the biggest concern and problem with guys across the country because all these gyms are closed. Obviously, I can go to a field and throw and keep my arm in shape and stuff like that, but just physical shape, getting to a gym has been impossible because it hasn't been open. So I've just been doing what they call the prison workout, I guess, in my room and all the push-ups and sit-ups and jumping around you can, I guess, to stay in shape. But that's what I've been doing. Hopefully it translates when we start playing, but we'll see.
The old prison workout. Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
That's you know, the rest of us are in prison, not working out as much as you probably. There you go, yeah.
Right.
All right, Gavin, always good talking with you. Thanks for taking some time, and hopefully you'll be on the field this summer with the Navs and the Futures League.
I hope so. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, take care. Gavin Sullivan with us, junior at Stetson and from Swampscott here, and, of course, a member of the North Shore Navigators here on North Shore Sports Night.
All right, thank you, Bill. Thank you, Gavin. Great to talk with you guys and to hear all about it. And, yeah, let's hope the Navs get back in action. Joining us now is Mike Grenier, sports writer extraordinaire for the Salem News, still doing features for the Salem News and covering all kinds of stuff. Mike, it's been a little bit longer than I was hoping, but here we are. Glad to have you back.
Well, you know what? It's funny. I've been listening to your show tonight, and it's always interesting, of course. And I always have to chuckle because my longtime friend and colleague, Gary Larrabee, we've literally been friends for 50 years, and we still talk a couple, two or three or four times a month. And he is definitely the expert of golf, not just North Shore, but statewide. I think you guys are graced with his voice every week, and he speaks with such authority and knowledge. It's phenomenal, okay? Now, I was never a golf guy when we were together at Salem News, so I would let him, he would cover all the tournaments and all that. But still and all, I'm thinking, come on, Gary, let's get off the golf shtick once in a while and talk basketball. Because Gary knows about basketball and football and baseball and all that other stuff because we covered it together. And, you know, remember, Rick, about a month or so ago, we went through a whole thing where we discussed the top five North Shore boys basketball players of all time.
Yep.
He would name a name, and then I would name somebody else, and that was a lot of fun. But I know Gary's going to stick to golf, and really, you guys are fortunate. I can't think of another guy, certainly statewide or maybe, you know, regionally or nationally, who has more knowledge and more enthusiasm for golf than Gary Larrabee.
He gets on the show, Mike, and he just rattles off the names and the dates and places and the tournaments. And it's like, okay, and Rick's head spinning at the end of the interview with all the Gary has just left us. And he's got, you know, not only got the names at the place, he's got the numbers that they shot. And it's like, good Lord, how do you have all, does he have it all sitting in front of him? But it doesn't sound like he's reading it. It's just coming out of the head.
Yeah, some of that is institutional knowledge, right, Tim? He just knows his stuff. But that being said, let's switch sports.
Okay.
All right?
Yes, let's do. Your turn.
I don't know. Before we touch on basketball, maybe, and the Celtics coming back and playing July 31st, and I saw today where both Gordon Hayward and Jason Tatum did some individual workouts at the Auerbach Center there. And so it kind of heightens your excitement about the NBA coming back, but have you guys heard much about the possibility of the schoolboy seasons this fall being scrubbed because of the coronavirus and all the regulations, the guidelines. I know you, Max Cerullo, alluded to the youth sports and all that and youth baseball, but I'm starting to hear, I live in the Merrimack Valley here in Lawrence, and I'm hearing from teachers and even some athletic directors and coaches, they're not overly optimistic that the seasons will go as planned in September. I don't know what you guys are hearing on the North Shore, closer to Gloucester and Danvers and all that, but I'm hearing from my local sources and coaches that they're not tremendously optimistic about the season starting on time.
I'm not happy to hear that. I talked with, Tim and I were talking about this earlier, about trying to get a hold of the MIAA, representative to see what they're thinking. We're going to work on that. But, I talked with the Ipswich Director of Athletics today, Tom Gallagher, and he was saying that the ADs, when they get together, they're planning they're planning on having fall sports. And he didn't maybe he couldn't or wasn't supposed to, but he did not hint at any pessimism. But it wouldn't surprise me, Mike, because this thing, it's funny, a friend of mine has labeled this as government overreach and underperformance. And I don't know. We certainly have erred on the side of caution. You bring up a good point. Can we really envision everything being back to, in quotes, normal in terms of sports as soon as September? Tim, what do you think?
Well, I saw a number today that due to the lockdowns that were put into place, more than 60 million lives were saved.
Okay.
All right. So imagine the devastation if we didn't go into lockdown, if we followed the numbnuts, directives that, this is going to pass, it's not serious, it's
right.
A joke, all right? And we went about our daily business, and we suddenly had 60 million people dead in this country.
Yeah.
Instead of 100,000.
110,000 now, right, Tim? Of course.
Yeah. The number only continues to grow. The areas in the country where it wasn't bad to start with are getting bad now because they're not practicing social distancing. They're allowing large gatherings, and their numbers are starting to rise. Where ours, because we went to lockdowns and social distancing and wearing masks, our numbers, while we're still seeing new cases and we're still seeing high numbers of death, they're not where they were 2 months ago.
Right, and I think sports-wise, Tim, I totally get that. I've been following it just like you. I would love to see the high school football season open in September, early September, and the soccer season open in September. But I know right in my area where I live, I know a vice principal here in Lawrence who says that they've had some active discussions that, like, Lawrence High School may not open till next January. And of course, Lawrence, where I live, has the third highest infection rate in the state. So I get that. So I'm wondering if some communities and towns might be more ready to open than others. And how does that play out when September rolls around? Will there be a preseason for football with a close contact? Will there be preseason for soccer in August where the kids are in close contact? I think, I want to be optimistic and say it's going to be a full season, but I'm trying to be realistic and say this might not go off as planned. I'm hoping it does, but I'm not so sure.
No,
it's one of those things where, we'll take our chances, but even the governor, we're opening things up, but if we see the numbers start to go back where they were, they're going to shut it all down again.
I completely agree.
You have to because, we don't have antidote, we don't have a cure. It's not like the flu. Everyone says, 70,000 people die every year. Well, we had 110,000 die in 3 months.
That's right.
You're in a little bit worse situation here.
I think it's a wait and see because of what you just cited. Because there is no vaccine and the uncertainty is still there, I think it's just going to see how it plays out throughout the rest of the summer. And then in the first part of the fall, and if cases spike upwards, then we might see a backlog or a backstepping and say, okay, we're going to have to shut it down for a month or two. I hope that doesn't happen because the numbers have been trending very positively here in Massachusetts and in eastern Massachusetts, and we all want to see those kids playing in the fall. And as a fan, as a sports writer, I want to be seeing games, and certainly the Spectres want to get out there. The Kells need to burn off. It remains to be seen whether we can count on a full season being played without interruption. I just think there's some question marks there because of the uncertainty.
Mike, in terms of the NBA, not only the NBA, but also I'm thinking the NHL, they want to have playoffs, and I'm guessing it's a monetary impetus there. And playing in the summertime after a long layoff, you've got to obviously get back into playing condition again and go through all the rules and everything else, and then have this tournament, I guess it would be called. And then, you know, within a month or two, you're back getting ready for the regular season again. How do you look at this?
Obviously, it's uncharted territory, Rick. And I think even those, when they start those 8 regular season games on July 31st and then go into the playoffs, my question is, which team is going to be most prepared to win and go deep into the playoffs? Because the players who actively worked out during the pandemic and joining teams that have done the same have the better chance of going deep, obviously, than players who took the time off and got a little fat, maybe. I'm thinking, for example, in the Celtics situation, young team, hungry team, I'm assuming that Brad Stevens obviously stayed in contact with the guys and said, you got to get in the best shape possible, however you do it individually. Now, they might be playing, it looks like, right, Tim, they'd be probably playing the Philadelphia 76ers in the opening round of the playoff if everything goes as according to plan right now. And you wonder about a guy like Joel Embiid, a tremendous talent, but not exactly a guy who's fit all the time. He's missed hundreds of games in his career with injuries, but also not known as a guy who gets himself in tremendous physical condition. So right away you're thinking, okay, advantage Celtics. But on the other hand, Ben Simmons, another all-star player from Philly, had been ruled out basically had the season played out the way it's supposed to. Now his back may be okay, and he might play against the Celtics. So it's really going to be interesting, I think, when they get together at Disney World and start playing these games to see which teams are in better physical condition, because I think those are the teams that will have the best shot at winning.
I agree there. Which guys have taken the time off the most serious, and that have applied themselves, that have looked forward to the return of the season.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And you're really going to see who's committed to the team and not to the paycheck.
That's right. That's right. But at least I think NBA, for the most part, Commissioner Silva has a plan and had a plan in place, and most of those guys tried to stay in shape. Now, if you look at the Major League Baseball, what a turnoff! If you're a baseball fan, I don't care if you're from the North Shore or from Northern California, how turned off are you by the attitude and the actions of Major League players who, in the midst of a pandemic where 110,000 people have died and where the unemployment rate in the country is 13.5%, players are griping and moaning about getting prorated salaries, and just they're very public with it. Blake Snell, a guy who won the Cy Young Award a couple of years ago, and Bryce Harper and all these major stars complaining about their salaries when people are dying all over America and there's racial upheaval and they're worried about their salaries, that to me is a huge turnoff. I mean, I covered the Red Sox from 1977 on for many years, and I loved baseball. But right now, I definitely hate baseball because of the selfish attitude of the players.
Yeah, I made the same comments earlier, right when we were beginning the show, Mike, how should we make it as much as they are and then complaining about having to take a little bit less, which is still going to be millions of dollars?
Right.
You know, when you've got people who are making minimum wage suddenly without a job.
Right. Correct. And I think that's going to be a turnoff for fans. I don't want to repeat anything you might have said, Tim, but I just think fans, it's going to be hard to – obviously, they're going to be playing without fans in the stands for quite a while, but, once fans' attitudes turn off like that, it's hard to bring them back to the ballpark. It's hard to bring them to the TV set to watch some meaningless regular season game because they're going to be turned off by the attitudes of the players. And I think baseball players are shooting themselves in the foot by being so forthcoming about their lack billions of dollars that they would ordinarily be getting.
I think we're going to have to finish this up, Mike, but I have a thing I want to bring up for both of you guys to comment on, which is it's baseball-related, and it's race-related. I think it was Torrey Hunter. Does that sound familiar, that
yeah.
name?
Yeah.
He said in an article that I read today that there is one city in all of the United States that he would refuse to be traded to, and he asked for it in his no-trade club. He said he always wanted to play for the Boston Red Sox until he played at Fenway Park. And he said because of the name-calling that he had to endure, and other players, I guess, the kid from Baltimore, too,
yeah.
He said he would not want to play in Boston. And, you know, I've heard that story on talk radio for many years about, you know, it was one nitwit fan. But wait a minute. When this guy comes out, he's retired now, so he does, you know, doesn't have an axe to grind. When he says that, boy, it really opened my eyes. Like, what is going on at Fenway?
You know, I covered many games at Fenway over the years. I never really heard of major incidents involving players complaining about that stuff. I think Boston had a reputation going back to the 1950s and 60s because they were the last team to integrate with Pumpsy Green, and because Tom Yawkey was kind of labeled a plantation owner. They had a reputation. Obviously, they didn't give Jackie Robinson the type of tryout, Mays, I guess, the type of tryout that he would have expected. But you're talking back in the 50s and 60s. But I think, you know, I've been to Yankee Stadium and cover games there, and the racial epithets that come out of New York City, I've been to Shea Stadium. As a matter of fact, I was watching, Tim, that little replay of the 1986 Game 6 when the ball went through Buckner's legs, and the fans at Shea Stadium that year were vicious. I was appalled by the behavior of Mets fans, and you think about it, to put Boston separately from any other major city in America, I think it's kind of a bum rap. I really do. I think it happens to a certain degree in every ballpark in America.
Yeah, it certainly does. You know, and I think that. Just as Boston's history itself, compounded by Yawkey and his attitude towards Jackie Robinson. And I didn't know Willie Mays had a tryout, but I know Jackie Robinson.
Apparently Willie Mays came out fairly recently and said, I don't think he even tried it because he felt the Red Sox would have no interest in him whatsoever. So
yeah.
He didn't, you know. So, again, well, you're talking, you know, 50, 60 years ago now, you know.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and... He Hunter played for the Twins and then the Angels, correct?
Yeah.
And two real hotbeds of baseball intensity.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and have the opportunity to come to Fenway during his career when certainly baseball was the hottest ticket in town. You want to play in front of big crowds. You want to play in front of fans who want. Know the game, care about the game, you know, and who will support you no matter what color you are if you play and play hard.
Is another factor that should be considered here. As you guys know, if you've ever been, anybody that's been to Fenway, the proximity of the fans to the players is you're much closer to the players, physically closer to the players than you are at many ballparks in America.
Yep.
So players are more apt. They're more apt to hear negative comments, whether they be racial or otherwise, from the on-deck circle because the fans are right on top of you at Fenway. And that's not the case. Believe me, I've been to Oakland, for example, where the nearest fan's like about, you know, 50 yards away from home plate. So,
yeah.
You know, if you're a place that has close proximity like Fenway, you're going to hear a lot of things that you don't hear in other ballparks.
Mike, let's do it again sooner rather than later, and we'll have to have you on all during the Celtics playoffs, if that's okay.
That sounds great. And you know what? I know you mentioned the question about Bill Russell, and we'll talk about that one next time, maybe.
I'm looking forward to that because I think it's fun to talk about.
That's right.
I tell you what, there are two athletes that I would love to meet in all of the world and it, before my life is over. Well, number one on my list is Bill Russell, and number two is Bobby Orr. So we'll talk.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, real quick.
You take
here
care.
We go.
Yep.
Mike,
yes.
Real quick, back to Gary. Tiger Woods or Jack Nicklaus?
You know, I guess I'll take Jack Nicklaus because I don't like Tiger Woods. How's that?
next simply because I think he has the greater composure.
You know what? You know, I did talk to Jack Nicklaus back at the Senior Open at the Salem Country Club back in 2002. He was a class act. I know he's won a lot of tournaments, and I can't name them all like Gary Larrabee, but obviously you can't go wrong with either player, but I guess I kind of lean to Nicklaus.
All right, so, let's pick it up, and don't forget, we got to talk Russell versus whoever, okay?
Yes, that sounds great.
Among other things. Hey, Mike, thank you so much, man. It's always fun talking with you, and for God's sake, stay safe.
You guys, too. I wish you the best.
Take care, Miguel.
Thanks,
yep.
Mike.
Bye-bye. That is Mike Grenier, who is a sports encyclopedia in his own right, if I'm not mistaken, Tim. It's funny. He's lavishing praise on Gary's wherewithal. But Mike's right there, too. They're both amazing.
No, they're fun to talk to.
And encyclopedic sports knowledge of both local and national stuff. Tim, I guess that's it. We'll talk to you on next Monday.
I will be here, Rick. Believe me. When I say I'm here, I'm here.
You are there. All right. And the other thing is I'll give you a jingle. We'll see if we can get some historical perspective on the year 2020 as well.
Okay, buddy.
All right. Thank you. That's Tim Kearns, who is our Mr. Everything here at MSO No Sports. And I think that will take care of it. I want to thank all of our guests. Thanks, Bill Newell, for chatting with Gavin Sullivan, the Swampscott and Navigators pitcher, to Tom Gallagher, the Ipswich Director of Athletics at Ipswich High School, of course, Gary Larrabee, who we have mentioned along with Mike Grenier, and to Max Cerullo, who is the sports editor of the Newburyport Daily News. So on behalf of Tim Kearns, Bill Poske, I'm Rick Moore. This is MSONewsSports.com.